Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Monday, February the 15th, 114th day of the new year. We're back to talk shop. No, we're not back. I'm looking at the right paw of the bank dude here, wondering what at-home job he was attempting to do without instilling, great bodily harm to himself.
As my wife would tell me, it's a mere flesh wound.
How deep is your flesh?
It was probably about a half inch deep.
15, 20 layers? Yeah.
It was all the way
down. You bled pretty good then.
Yeah, I bled pretty good.
Yeah,
why don't we move on with
I want to know, what'd you do? What were you trying to do successfully?
We'll talk about it at the break.
I see. It's one of those embarrassing moments.
Exactly.
Then. Okay. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the new location for the bank in Arcata. Things are kind of settling a little bit, so we'll get into a little bit more detail than what we did last month. Also, we'll talk about what the impacts of uncertainty, the terrorism activity that happened earlier today in Boston, but also some of the things that are showing up as stock market going down today, gold in the last 2 days falling off significantly. What's at work here? What's going on? We'll talk about that when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Well, you can read it. Just because you winged yourself doesn't mean that you can't read a quote, I don't think.
Well, this is the quote for today, then, is Albert Einstein, who said, "You cannot simultaneously prevent and prepare for war."
I thought it would be something like, "Go Aussies, go." Did you watch the Masters this weekend?
I did not. I got to see about, anywhere from about 2 minutes of it. And it happened to be, I walked into the room.
At the end?
During the 2 minutes to watch the last two putts. That's all I saw.
Oh, is that? Oh, okay.
That's all I saw.
Well, you missed about the preceding 10 minutes is about where I was. And seeing those two guys, it was just way cool.
And then I read a little bit about Tiger Woods' woes and misplacing the ball. And
oh, yeah, hitting the flag stick and ending up in the lake.
Well, yeah.
And then rippling off that. Now, these two guys, indulgence for 2 moments. On the 10th, they both hit really long putts to go to send it. And their drives on the 10th were within about 3 feet of one another.
Wow.
On the green, they were within about a foot and a half of the pin, each of them. And then the next hole, same thing. And then they each had about 12 foot, but from different angles. And the Argentinian guy, quarter inch maybe.
Yeah, I saw it.
And then Scott dropped it.
And they...
With a big hook. Yeah.
I just can't believe those guys, how they judge how that ball
I think
is
they've got
turn,
those electronic things that we can't afford.
I don't know.
That show half inch gradations on the green. But yeah, that was fun to see. And I guess the contrast to that is what happened, about 2 hours ago, 2.5 hours ago in Boston with that situation playing out.
Yeah, that's tragic. What a terrible way to end that race. And the more that comes out, the worse it gets. And
it's interesting for me, any event, it's a World Series game, it's a Super Bowl, it's a Masters, or it's something like this. How connected we all seem to be to it. I got a buddy whose cousin was 100 yards away when it blew. How does that happen, that I would know somebody who would be that close? Talked to another buddy last week, and it's not that I have that many friends all of a sudden.
Yeah, you've talked about two buddies, so I think that's the end
of the
list.
Was at the Masters and saw Watson hit his hole-in-one on the par three.
Oh, wow.
In the last practice round. Yeah, I mean, it's cool to kind of live vicariously every once in a while. So do you have any friends?
I'm still looking.
You're still good.
Still
good.
Looking.
Yeah. Well, when the trap finally springs.
I'm taking applications, but I haven't received one yet.
Yeah. All out, none in. Okay. What is going on, John, with the dollar, with the stock market, with gold? Something seems to be going on because all three of them have settled rapidly in the last day or two.
Well, yeah, it's interesting to see the market fall and gold fall at the same time, and that's kind of unusual. Usually they work in opposite directions. But you've got a lot of dynamics going on right now. You know, the Federal Reserve has pushed every button they can to stimulate the economy, dropping rates past the zero boundary. You know, in the past, 1% was as low as you could ever conceive of going, and they broke that, what they call the zero boundary, and gone down below one. They've also had three stimulus packages, if you want to call that. The quantitative easing.
How about printing runs?
Yeah. they like to call it quantitative easing because printing of money sounds bad, but really they have. They've expanded the money supply substantially. We haven't seen, normally that would cause runaway inflation. We haven't seen that because most of those dollars are still sitting in banks as reserves. But it has stimulated the economy. And one of the side effects is they've created a new bubble. We had the real estate bubble, the residential real estate bubble, but now we have a bubble forming because of the quantitative easing in agricultural land prices. In ag prices, period.
Food products or the manufacturing? Are you talking about the manufacturing side?
Yeah, the price of grain, the price of wheat, price of corn, so forth. You know, all of that is inflated substantially, and that's why you see ag prices being inflated, you know, at the same time.
And that's why milk is going up and some of the other things, yeah.
And the last thing that's significantly inflated because of this is the stock market. And so, or you know, this is one opinion, I should say. And
so this is a discounting that's going on because of the recognition of that?
Well, they're now talking about relaxing quantitative easing and moving towards the TWIST program because the newest...
Okay, slow down. It sounds like we're into acronymville here.
TWIST, I'm sorry, it is. And I don't even know what that acronym stands for. But what they're doing is...
I got an idea if it involves the wind.
Yeah. No, it's purchasing basically mortgage-backed securities as opposed to quantitative easing where they're actually purchasing treasuries. So by doing this, what they're doing is they're dealing with a new problem they've discovered, which is manipulating the maturities. And so what you have is a lot of investment firms or investment pools and insurance companies are making money right now by borrowing short term and investing long term and making money on the differential. Well, the problem is that once rates start to equalize and go up, you could see insurance companies failing and these funds collapsing and so forth. So they're trying to deal with that at the same time. The TWIST program would do that. I've gotten way over your head. I'm sorry.
It's 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude. Now that he's been properly chastised for prattling on.
I meant to say twisting.
That's all. So, as the Wall Street update talked to, John, significant changes are going on, whether it's Wall Street and recognition of what you were saying and having too much money in the system. The concern that I had with what you were talking about in the last segment, though, was about the housing. That when you say housing and bubble, even in the same 5 minutes, it gets a lot of us really goosey. So what is the status of the housing market? Is it related to this QE3 or what the feds are trying to do /to us in that regard?
Yeah, the quantitative easing doesn't seem to have hurt the housing market. But there is, the price of the bubble is in agricultural land, which has, in some places, increased in price 4 or 5 times from where it was pre-recession. The next question is, when does that bubble pop? And if so, can the Fed actually control, the decline so that it isn't as impactful? And so, really, we're in unprecedented territory economically, and applying fixes and that have never been applied before. And so, there's a lot of theory being discussed, and who really knows what's going to happen?
Cost of food has gone up significantly. I think it seems like that's an agreed upon across the board. You can't really argue that one. Whether it's oil prices, transportation costs to get to the store, or whatever the reason might happen to be, we've seen that happen pretty uniformly. So if the agriculture sector bubble breaks, does that imply that the prices will go up even further as there are less people making the product and supply and demand, or going the other way and suddenly there's a scramble to sell it at any price and the consumer will be the beneficiary of lower prices as the farm sector works its way through?
Well, it certainly could vary based on the commodity that you're talking about and the circumstances. You got to throw drought in there as far as the cost of food goes. Ethanol is a big impact to corn prices.
Or the lack of that subsidy.
Right. Yeah. The increase in land prices increases, the need for, greater prices and restricts the growth of the industry and so forth. So you got a lot of factors going on here as far as, the prices go. But economists at this point theorize that if we were to suddenly end QE3 and start selling off these securities, or the QEs, I should say, we could see a substantial, pop of that bubble, and we could be severely impacted by it. At the same time, for the most part, I think we'd see prices go down in commodities, but then you're going to see farmers struggle because of those prices.
Is there a push to put more land in agricultural production?
Not that I'm aware of.
Less?
Generally, it seems like we're always taking away and we're not adding.
Well, that's why. So the price of the land, if nobody's looking to purchase the land, could go up tenfold. It's not going to change anything. You could drop to a tenth. Wouldn't change too much. Now, it might mess things up if you're looking for an equity loan or something like that. But
prices are going up because people are buying them. Not because they're not buying them.
So it's not just an independent fluctuation that's going on. There is demand to be buying these.
Correct.
For agriculture production or for other use?
I believe it's for agricultural production. Now, we don't see a lot of ag here, but in talking to my peers and, you know, and other banks, especially in the Midwest, this is a considerable concern for them because they do a lot of ag loan or ag land lending. won't impact us as much here because the agriculture, of course, is a significantly different animal here.
Well, in looking at the two on this side of the counter, I do believe the consumption is still going on rather healthily in Humboldt County. Yes. It'll get us but somewhere down the road, so
there
to
you
speak.
Go.
Yeah. You were talking about China a little bit and some of the things that are going on there is possibly the cause for the gold to go down. Was it down 9.35 today percent? That's a huge chunky. It's below 1,400 for the first time in a couple of years. As you said, the gold typically is the safe haven for stock market. You know, if one's going one way, the other's going the other, and you can kind of balance things out a little bit. But with both of them pulling back at the same time, what does that say?
I don't know. How's that for a great answer?
Well, truth is good.
you know, we've known for some time that the Chinese economy was being challenged and that we were seeing deterioration in it. You know, they've got a lot of issues, you know, to deal with there. And so it's not surprising to see bad numbers come out of China or unfavorable numbers coming out of China. And I think we're probably going to see more as global markets are impacted. But why gold would go down, I really don't know. I haven't, you know, this is a new phenomenon for me, so I've got to spend some time reading about it.
Might be time to buy that ring.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude from Redwood Capital Bank, John Dalby. John, as we're looking at the housing market, which is certainly a primary motivator and driver for our economies here locally, are you seeing anything nationally, regionally, locally with the housing market that is getting you feeling positive about the next 6 months?
We're actually seeing purchase transactions go up. We've been doing a lot in residential real estate. We've been doing a lot of refinances primarily, but very few purchase transactions. We're now seeing the mix change, and we're seeing more purchase money transactions come into the bank. We're also seeing more people pre-qualifying to buy houses. And my observation driving around, I'm now seeing sold signs on properties that have been for sale for some period of time. So I think we're starting to see an uptick in the number of purchase transactions, which is good for the market. As that goes up, then we might even see some uptick in construction, new construction, as you know, people are looking for homes and upgrades and so forth.
Are these first-time home buyers? Are these mid-range? Are these transplants coming in? What's the profile of these buyers?
Yeah, for the most part, it's on the lower end, you know, the purchase transactions. Every once in a while, we see, you know, somebody coming in, a physician or something, buying on
one of
on
those
the high
homes.
End. Right.
Yeah.
Buying more on the high end, but the prices there are still extremely soft. You can get a lot of value right now on the high end compared to what it used to be. So those prices and appraisals are still coming in soft. But on the lower end, the three and twos and the first-time homes, you know, it's pretty solid, and we're starting to see some recovery there.
But these are from folks who have been in the area for a while and just haven't gotten into the market in the past however many years, or are these folks new into the area?
For the most part, what I'm seeing, my observations, it's people that have been renting for a long time, just sitting on the sidelines. They could buy, but were afraid to because they thought they'd buy a house and then a decline in value, which tells me that
join in the river.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. That the public perception is that we have hit the bottom and that you know, we'll start moving up or at least remaining where we are.
No more constriction. Just a little bit of loosening up of the attitude.
Correct.
At this point.
Yeah.
Now, when you start looking, what are you hiding over there with your hat on? As you look at the business marketplace, now 4 or 5 years ago when this started, there were a lot of businesses that were here that aren't here now, that have gone through a transition if they're still around. Do you see that the business, the pent-up demand there, either for new business, the entrepreneur, or for existing business to kind of step in and start reinvesting in their labor of love, is that working? Are you seeing that? Are you getting requests for lines of credit and things of that nature?
We're seeing an uptick, a small uptick in the amount, and you know, general business, or what we call C&I, commercial and industrial loan activity, not significant. We're not seeing a lot of new startups. There are some shifts in the businesses where, you know, technology has changed the marketplace. So you have some exiting and new ones coming in, but nothing real significant, nor do I see any real significant new employers coming into the area. And, you know, that's really what we need to see is something come in with some living wage jobs.
50 job plus, something like that?
Or even just living wage jobs as opposed to you know, hospitality, which generally, you know, pays in the lower end of the scale. And we've really seen a transition of our economy from what used to be a resource-based economy to tourism, and it just doesn't pay as well.
So you're not seeing, for example, the new Holiday Inn Express at Wabash and Broadway in Eureka being a significant economic event for the city?
Well, certainly anytime you're building.
It was nice.
Yeah, anything you're building, but are we bringing in more occupants into the area for tourism, or are we simply going to take it away from hotels that are older and don't, you know, I don't know the answer to that question.
If they have a convention facility, it would be nice.
Yeah, our hotels seem to be doing fine. But I don't know that this is a sign that, gee, things are really exploding.
Now, Lost Coast Brewery is starting to do the preliminary or have the preliminary work done for the site development. Something like that, even though it's not a big splash, we don't see it, has more impact, you think, as they expand their workforce?
That's going to be a really great project for the community, you know, in that there'll be a lot of, you know, it's an expensive project, so there'll be a lot of construction dollars. Hopefully, as much of that sticks and we create some jobs in the meantime, the expansion will also create some additional jobs. That kind of manufacturing is really positive for the community. And what I mean by that is the dollars coming into it are primarily coming from outside the area because they're exporting the product. Those are really good things for us.
So you're kind of happy about that one?
I'm very excited about that.
You're going to be there for the first sample? Probably, wouldn't you say? Yeah, okay. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 morning mass and 12:30 Spanish mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Here Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby from Redwood Capital. John, as you're looking at what really is around the corner, one of those things is the fact you guys are relocating, not expansion, pardon me, into Arcata. Is that thing getting traction? Is there momentum there? Is the community now getting behind this one?
The reaction that we've gotten has been very, very positive. You know, we've been looking for 5 years to get into the Arcata market, looking for an appropriate location. And, you know, it's very difficult to find. We had a minimum list of things that we needed. We were approached by Dave Figueredo, who was going to close his video store there, and asked if we would be interested in buying his building. We looked at it, and it met the minimum requirements, and so we went ahead and purchased that. Then in conversations with Humboldt State University, we found out the circumstances of the museum and came up with a way for us to even get a better building and to get the museum the permanent location they need so they can survive and start getting some grant funding and so forth. So we've formed what has been really a fun and wonderful partnership that I think will benefit the community and, of course, it benefits us and Humboldt State. It benefits them. So it's one of those few win-win-wins, and it's really been fun to watch it unwind.
The timing of it? Is that what took the 4 or 5 years?
No, it was very difficult to find a location that had in Arcata that had the square footage, the visibility, and the parking that we needed. Now, we'd like a drive-through window, so we were really picky at first, but by the time we got to the Figueredo building coming up, we couldn't put a drive-through in there. But we
And the chicken basket thing didn't really fit
into
your plans?
No, that didn't work. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we're very excited that this building is now available to us. Once we open the branch there, assuming everything goes well, I mean, you know, there's the devil's always in the detail, and we're working through those as we speak. But we're also going to be an annex for the museum. So there's a giant pterodactyl hanging from the ceiling, and that will continue to hang there.
It's not going to come into your office?
No, it's not.
Good move.
And then we'll have some other displays there. We're going to have displays in both of our other branches. Pointing people to try and bring them into the museum. It's a fabulous museum. It's a wonderful asset for our community. And then we'll be working with them directly, trying to build an endowment for the long term.
Also, the bank will be involved in helping facilitate that.
Correct. Yes.
I see. Look forward to stuffers in the mailbox near you. Yeah. It's interesting. I would think developing this shared common vision. Because if you're a partner, you're a partner.
Absolutely.
And you got to have a buy-in on it. And it sounds like you guys are having the buy-in. Do they have the buy-in with you guys being across the bank and being a partner?
Yeah.
Across the street.
Yeah. It's at first I was very concerned when this idea was pitched to me. I go, okay, why would the museum people, the people involved with that, you know, want to see this happen? And then once I understood the circumstances, I understood why it was a very positive move for them. And we've worked together to walk through some of the challenges in moving to the new location. So we're hoping that by next month we'll actually be doing work on the building in preparation for the museum's move into it.
Is the facade going to change or is it going to stay similar? Will the building be recognizable?
I have not seen the architectural drawings, but I think for the most part, the building's going to look much the same as what it does now.
Yeah, it's almost a period piece. I mean, it's been there long enough.
Yeah, it's a beautiful facade. If you ever have a chance to stop and look at the way Dave Figueredo and his wife Dana built that, the facade is absolutely beautiful. I mean,
I was thinking of the new bank location.
That'll be nice too.
Yes, okay.
So I was talking about the Figueredo.
No,
building.
I figured you knew what the bank was going to look like, but I guess maybe not.
I actually don't yet.
Thanks for coming by, dude. We've been Talking Shop with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.